Would we ask the angels, or could we ask the angels to assist us in getting our physical thrones, the state of being?
They are anyway. See, remember in 23, the angels want to be, they don't want to be dicking around with you. They'd rather be looking for that weird soul. Remember the weird soul?
The dark one.
We don't even like to say
the dark soul.
Yeah, the dark soul.
Oh.
Yes. Okay.
The dark record stenographer.
Okay.
Isn't the dark soul just the little men?
Not necessarily.
Or is it something more? Or does it apply to a group or a single person or being?
Doesn't say, does it?
What's that?
Doesn't say, does it?
It doesn't say.
How come they're, I mean, don't they kind of know everything? Why are they looking for something when they know pretty much everything? Are they waiting for it to develop?
Just as angels are without eyes, they neither contain a soul or even now in heaven there are savage weapons to wield the power of heaven onto the men of the earth.
So they're just waiting to just have at it, clean up the earth, get rid of everybody that's not ascending, and that's their main interest. That's
what
they'd like to do.
They don't want people ascending. They want to keep their job of ushering people to the guff.
Okay, because we'll totally boss them.
Hey. Yeah, the angels will be really screwed up. Matter of fact, probably a lot of the unemployed, you know, wandering around the cities are angels.
Okay, so this brings me to another topic. Now, since Bob on
now,
the
wait
earth.
Wait a second. Oh, hold that topic because you ain't through with this one.
Oh, okay.
And again, I heard the angel of the Lord saying, there shall be a dark soul, and this soul shall dwell in a man, which will give power over the balance of man before the full power wrought by man in the fullness of eternal bliss. Does that not sound all...
Okay.
Doesn't that sound like an empire? Doesn't that sound like an empire?
What number is that?
It's the Bilderbergers.
6, 23, 6.
Do.
23,
it's what? It's chapter 23, what?
6.
So they're looking for the guy that's going to put them in power, that they can control.
Yeah, man, not knowing the power held within their grasp, enraged the angels, making the angelic forces jealous over man's potent, latent power, not yet heretofore achieved or activated from Brian's foundations of the earth, leaving man as God from the spirit that is clear as mud to see.
And the angelic forces are not the angels.
Yeah, they are.
Yes, they are.
Well, there was an issue about the angels not having emotions and the angelic forces being jealous.
Who said jealousy was an emotion?
Ah, okay.
Is it a force field? What is it?
Well, look it up.
Oh, okay.
You know how that's going to go. You're going to ask us, and we tell you, and you wouldn't know then. So if you look it up, it makes a little mark.
That's a good point, Bart. See, you could also use that point with Lucifer. What was Lucifer's deal? You know, I want to sit at the right hand of God. God says, no, you're not. This is for my son. And then Lucifer gets pissed off and says, you know, we'll just, is pissed off an emotion?
So Lucifer is keeping the little man down so that he can never sit next to the right hand of God? Is that?
So is Michael.
Okay.
So is Gabriel.
Gabriel.
Y'all keep talking about Lucifer like he's some big bad dude. They Michael stirred up more shit than Lucifer ever has.
Yeah, you mentioned that in the Revelation series that Lucifer really is the one we really, he loves us, and as all the angels, we like him, so, yeah.
Well, that's who you seem to piddle with most. The fullness of the angelic realm is subject only to man denying their power as God on earth, as it is written.
Sorry.
That's the second part of verse 8.
Hey, Ion, are the Hell's Angels Motorcycle Gang, are they actually angels?
Yes, and yes. They just, they're God's angels that ride hogs.
So they're not human creators.
They would be a human creator, yes.
Well, which is it? Are they human creators or are they angels?
Both. You ever heard the song called Earth Angel?
So they're mix of angel and human.
Are they Nephilim? Is that what you're saying?
They would be, yes, they are. But then so was the third Jesus.
Right.
You found jealous yet, baby?
Well, I hope you're not referring to me, because if I get on the computer, I have to turn the router off to get on this phone. So someone else has to look it up.
Well, beg rejoice. She's the queen of that stuff.
Okay, Joyce.
Yeah.
You can thank her for them notes, too. Thank you, Joyce.
Thank you, Joyce, and thanks, Sasha, for the wiki stuff.
Okay, jealousy, the definition. A jealous disposition, attitude, or feeling. The second definition is zealous vigilance. So we
what?
Probably need...
Vigilance?
Zealous vigilance.
Oh, well, if... Feeling is not an emotion. Correct?
Right.
Yes.
So
would a feeling incite something like the retaliation and the wars that arose as a result?
That's vindication. Okay, now you can't have silence on the radio.
Somebody looking something up, or where
so,
do we leave off?
This didn't help very much.
Are there angels? So, all right, the angelic forces were jealous. They were led by Lucifer, or
it doesn't say that, does it?
They just don't want to be talked about and run by someone
before.
That doesn't know that.
See, a night without Bob is like a day without sunshine. Because he's done got a tourniquet around his tongue from it bleeding.
So you said that jealousy is not a feeling. Is that what you said, Ion? And then we went to look it up.
No, it's not an emotion.
Oh, it's not an emotion, but it is a feeling. So angels feel. They get jealous.
They do.
They want. They desire. And they get angels.
And they're a machine.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, they're a machine that gets mad when it can't have its way.
That's
no. It's neither physical nor non-physical.
What?
Angels are neither physical nor non-physical. They're creations of us. We created them.
Okay, so they are a machine that have feelings.
Well, hold on. Now, define what
they're like. But wait a minute.
They're how in 2001.
Yes.
In the computer that
took
over?
I got a quote for you later.
Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
Okay.
The internet is a massive angel, or maybe millions of angels.
Oh, okay.
The internet is guiding us to the post-Guff world.
I am putting the internet out of work.
Don't you find it odd that each web address is a URL? Doesn't that seem familiar to you all?
Earl. Who's Earl?
Now, what do you mean by that?
You are. Ariel.
Oh, you are royal lineage. You are royal lineage. URL.
Uriel?
You just
Uriel.
Is it Uriel?
Uriel. Uriel.
You ever
Earl.
Seen the Ayers?
Oh, Ayers and Earl. Oh, okay. So the Earl is Ayers.
Who?
Okay.
So the
what is what?
URL is Ayers. It's basically saying they're angels.
One
every
of them.
Address.
Would the Jedi be considered some sort of a programming glitch in the machine?
What is URL stand with? Uniform resource locator?
Locator, yeah.
Uniform, that's interesting even. Uniform resource locator.
Uniform locators?
Sheldon. Sheldon, welcome. You've gotten the girls greased up now.
They're getting nervous, Sheldon.
Yeah, they got the hand. That's exactly right. Yeah, and the dog.
Is that Jill? Jill, you should watch her. I assume it's you. You got to watch her mute a little more.
Right.
Yeah, we've heard you
every
wash your dishes.
Every time I open my mouth, you say something, Bob.
Oh, yeah, well, I got it out for you.
Actually, you've been pretty good, but it's always something. Jill, you're going on too much. Jill, quit repeating. Jill, come to a point. Jill, that's about it. And now,
yeah.
Jill, what
all true. All true, right? All my grievances are true.
I get a smackdown with you almost every time, Bob.
It's not a smackdown. I think it's odd. We heard you arguing with the taxi driver. We heard you wash your dishes. We heard you yelling at your daughter. We heard you bang pots around. And
okay.
I assume.
All right. Okay, sir. Okay.
Just be more aware of it. That's all I'm asking.
Okay.
As Bob nervously was fixing to wash his hands.
I had to wash my head.
Well, what happens is I have to change.
You're so black.
So we didn't get the Dark Soul pin down.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Oh, no kidding. That's part of not getting pinned down. Half think that did get pinned down. The other half don't.
Well, it's the Antichrist is going to give the angels all their power for 10 minutes, and that's their last hurrah.
Not all their power. The Dark Soul is the person who hasn't arrived in their kingship or queenship and is still looking for a job, so the angels can help them. The Dark Soul is just some last person that they could help.
I thought they didn't want to help anybody but themselves.
No, they only want to help us.
No,
but they have to.
Once they're in power, we tell them what to do, and we'll as we ascend, we'll be telling them precisely what we want done. Isn't that true, Ion?
You already can.
Yeah.
Yeah, but won't we have more control over them as we ascend?
No, we'll have less use for them.
Is that true?
Is that true? Now check with yourself first. Who are you asking? Is that true?
Ion.
You want Chad to answer that? Ion is the last angel. Ion is the last angel. Don't trust him.
We have total control over them now.
You most absolutely do.
You wish.
I don't know.
No, that's true. You wish.
You know what, Bob?
They gave me cloud cover today when I needed it.
What'd you say?
They gave me cloud cover today when I needed it.
Yeah, and what'd you say, Bart?
I said 160 is making you goofy.
That's right. That's right, Bart.
I will say you're operating at a different level. I need to be listening to cash flow today.
Yes, you should have found out why I got to where I am today.
You're operating. It sounds like you've unlocked some stuff because you've totally become confident and you're overturning everything now.
Yes,
I mean it's
that's
really like above and beyond.
I'm not confident. Okay, so what's this about Bob owning the world?
Okay.
Yeah.
I got that. Bob. I got this one. This one. And the elect one shall in those days sit on my throne, and his mouth shall pour forth all the secrets of wisdom and counsel. For the Lord of spirits hath given them to him and hath glorified him.
Where's that from? I could use that.
Well, it's this, Bob, it's very interesting. You did this thing called the Revelation.
Oh, that's old school.
Well, we did that with you with the concealed one and the elect one, Bob. In Enoch.
It's verse 16, chapter 23. For in those the elect one shall arise.
Verse 16, chapter 23.
Chapter 23, and he shall choose the righteous and holy from among them. That's us. For the day has drawn nigh that they should be saved. And the elect one shall in those days sit on my throne, and I shall pour forth all the secrets of wisdom and counsel, for the Lord of spirits hath given them to him and hath glorified him.
Would that be Harry Potter in relation to Dumbledore?
I don't know. You'll have to ask Hermione.
Oh yeah, Hermione Mini.
And what was the other one? You were looking at Slytherin. It was the Slytherin.
Slytherin.
JW liked to slip a stitch.
It says on 18. It says in those days shall the mountains like rams, and the hills also shall skip like lambs, satisfied with milk, and the faces of all the angels in heaven shall be lighted up with joy. So what does it mean that the mountains will leap like rams? Does that mean they're going to move a lot?
Oh, yeah. They already are. Have you seen CNN lately?
Have I seen what?
Have you seen CNN lately?
No, I'll have to turn it on. I haven't watched it for a few days.
Well, don't bother. You can just look on the Lucky Box. Everywhere around the world, the mountains are leaping like rams.
Nothing's really sitting still right now.
Right. When it's 105 degrees in Minnesota, you know something's up.
They're all going, damn, another rewrite session's in process. That's what they're going to be saying soon. Well, looks like we don't know when and where they do it. Seems to be Wednesday, but we can follow the barometer and we see the rewrite is in session because we're sweltering or freezing.
They might have the ticker, saying that.
Yeah.
Or burning or drowning.
The elective gathered around Bob. We await the decisions.
We await the tremors.
Now's your time to talk about
the blue star. The faces of all the angels in heaven shall be lighted up with joy.
Yeah, with RNA drops.
And the earth shall rejoice, and the righteousness shall dwell upon it, and the elect shall walk thereon.
So they're talking about the new earth there.
Yeah,
and the new heaven.
The new Dobbstown.
The earth. How much is this Bobdom?
Dobbstown, new Dobbstown.
I saw how mighty quaking made of heavens to quake, and the host of the Most High and the angels, a thousand thousands, and a thousand times 10,000, were disquieted with a great and the head of days sat on the throne of his glory, and the angel and the righteous stood around him. So does that kind of talk about the Exodus there?
No. This is about the angels. The Exodus
happened
to the little man getting the hell out.
Yeah, I had...
This little paragraph is when Brian decides that his throne isn't in his butt.
Is that you, Jill, with your phone ringing? The other phone that I called?
Wash your hands, baby. They're dirty. Don't worry about it.
Wash your hands, Jill. For God's sakes, wash your hands.
The phone. Before you answer that phone, wash them hands. Wash them nasty hands.
Okay,
muted sound that takes place tonight. That really wasn't
that
me.
Was on my.
It was someone else. But I'll take.
That
I'll,
was on
I'll
my
be
phone.
The fall guy.
Who was that? Was that Sue?
That was me. Barbara. It was not my phone. It was my boyfriend's phone that just rang.
Yeah.
Well, okay. All right. All right. So here's the big discovery for
Bob. Bob will be on you next. Don't worry.
Here's the big discovery for this week's gathering. The idea that angels are machines. I remembered a quote from Nathaniel Hawthorne's book called House of the Seven Gables. It came out in 1851. Nathaniel Hawthorne, if you don't know about him, he was a friend of Herman Melville who did Moby Dick. So they lived up near, what are those hills up there in?
Appalachians or?
No, it's Williams College area.
Yeah, it's the Berkshires.
Begins with B.
Berkshires.
They're up in the Berkshires in the early 1850s, freezing their butts off. And Melville meets Hawthorne. And so he dedicates Moby Dick to Hawthorne. And he's very impressed with Hawthorne's genius. So there's the background to Hawthorne. And Hawthorne, in this novel, he has a character named Clifford who loves rail trains. So here's a Cliff's Notes summary of chapter 17 called The Flight of the Two Owls. And I'll just read this short part. The notes say, with a kind of Emersonian optimism, that means optimism like Ralph Waldo Emerson, the character named Clifford describes an ever-ascending spiral of progress in which material crudities are gradually spiritualized. Quote, these railroads, he says, are positively the greatest blessing that the ages have wrought for us. They give us wings. They annihilate the toil and dust of pilgrimage. They spiritualize travel. So he's celebrating the fact that railroads get people out of their local towns where they become fossilized and tradition-bound. Once they get moving on railroads, the service he sees, people are moving around, becoming nomadic, encountering new experiences, and loosening up. And he's calling that spiritualizing.
And they bring pigs from Chicago.
Right. So that's a quote from him. He's saying it to this other person. And then Clifford cites the current fad phenomena of mesmerism and spiritualism. And that's what he does, you know, if you read the novel. He's saying this. And his excitement grows to an even more feverish pitch when he exalts the vitalizing power of electricity. So he's really getting into electricity. And he says, electricity is an angel, a mighty physical power, an all-pervading intelligence. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that's
so this is what Hawthorne is writing. The character is speaking the idea that the angels are the new electric environment. So that's how you look at my chart. And then the Cliff's notes say, Clifford's speculations are climaxed by Clifford's praise of the telegraph, which he, like Thoreau, the famous Thoreau character writer, considers to be, quote, an almost spiritual medium. So the telegraph's almost a spiritual medium. So it's not so far off that I planted this in my past. I planted it in Hawthorne's novel to cite on McLuhan's 100th anniversary, July 20th, 2011, to prove the point that, or to see the
revelation
possibility.
Can be rebuffed even now.
Yes, so that our images of angels should be updated here. And my chart updates the role of angels.
Not all angels are. They could be angels in the machine and in the electricity and in all environments, but that does not mean that that's just all that angels are.
Well, it's a more useful understanding of them than any other old images, because the next point McLuhan makes is that humans are greater.
Well, how did the internet smoke people back in the day?
Well, that, the internet delays the telegraph smoke people, and then before that, the printed book is an angel. Here's the final clincher. We are so empowered. See, the angels are leaving the guff. But the guff is disappearing, and Anna found out that the guff has shrunk 80% since the time of the telegraph, because the machines are angelic. And so they're showing up here. I'm looking at this computer. This is an angel on my desk sitting here to be used by me. And it's a sign of us coming into our power by default. These technologies are giving us power. The angels are giving me, these environments are giving me power so much. Hear that, angel?
See that truck? Anyway, so McCormick says that we are
making a lot of background noises, a lot of disturbing. You're going to have to be more conscientious and mute when the meat truck goes by.
No, I used it. I coordinate into the orchestra of my voice the symphony I'm presenting. So here's the punchline. Insight for Ion. So here it is. That McLuhan said today, humans are greater than the angels. If you think of angels defined as these things that can be anywhere as they want to be, but when they're at the place they're at, it's the only place they are. But we here are on the internet, and we're super angels because we're at many different places. We're in each one of ourselves' homes here. You know, I'm in Sheila's place, Sue's place, Barbara's place, you're in everybody else's place. So we're super angels because the angelic electric environment that was started with the telegraph is now making itself really friendly and useful to us as it disappears and brings us into our power. So when the guff empties, the angels have no work because we've returned here and acquired our power. Even those that didn't want it get it by default. The angels are sidelined. More and more technology is providing a service to us and being less interfering. So the evolution of technology since the telegraph is miming the disappearance of the guff. I rest my case.
But that, okay, it's, all right. Well, that's still not all an angel is, though. I mean, I could see.
No, an angel's more and more.
I think about angels, Bob, I think about angels because I always get angels and angels mixed. And if you think about them from that perspective, then they're shifty.
They what?
They're shifty in that they can manifest themselves in many different ways.
Right, and look at, when I am saying the angels are helping you already, that's looking at the internet and how it helps you. When you go and search for something, you get an answer right away. That's angelic.
Yeah, but if you're driving your car, you don't have your internet or your computer, and you speak, angels speak, and you can make something happen. That has nothing to do with the internet.
I know.
Oh,
internet's the latest form.
Oh,
it has to do with the car you're in.
Oh, easy there. You're driving along your car. And all of a sudden, one of your tires gets low, and then your computer says, oh, you have a loss or decrease in tire pressure, or your check engine light comes on, or your MP3 downloaded tactile version of a chip body is playing so loud that you couldn't hear the trucks coming by very fast as you electrically roll down your window and turn on your air conditioning, that the chip in your computer from the car diverts energy to the compressor, letting you enjoy refrigerated air.
Yeah, so see, the electricity pervading your car there.
Well, if you're driving a modern car, but if you don't have all the electronics and the stuff, and you... Okay.
Yeah, that's a minority. You're citing the dark soul. The dark soul has an old crummy, you know, Model T Ford just to remain separate.
No.
Okay, you're in a Model T Ford, and the red light is set to a chip body, so if you go 25 miles an hour, you never have to stop. But if you go faster or slower than that, every light will catch you.
Yeah,
and they use the radar and pull you over because you're going too slow, and they think something's wrong.
Okay, but Bob, also I think about it like if you consider that have you told me to go check out that movie Source Code?
Yes.
And there's I don't know if you've seen it. You know, there are holographic representations in that movie, and it sort of reminded me of the fact that everything that I see isn't real, even though I think it is. We don't really even know what's behind what we think that we see.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, you're standing around in your kitchen and it seems to be that it always is, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it is. So it just sort of an interesting way of creating an abstract thought to get your head around a disability.
It's rear view mirrored.
Yeah. That's why Ion's aphorism is like
paradise through the dashboard light.
Yeah. So when Ion tells you that what you see is not real, and what's more real is what you can see practically is the electric environment. And that's providing a greater reality than you realize. So Ion's aphorisms have practical application or representation in your immediate environment.
The old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be. Oh, wait, so that's for Monday night. I'll say that.
Wait, so, Bob, are you saying, what you're saying is that the angels work through environments, right?
I say that one, you know, I remember in the 90s there were a lot of people offering contact for talking, learn how to talk to your angels. There used to be New
right.
Age seminars.
Green Virtue.
Yeah, all kinds of these people. And the reason I know them is that Carolyn in her practice had a lot of New Age clients in Toronto, and they were always dropping off this literature, this pamphlets of their workshops. Carolyn would bring them home, and I'd look at them. She'd ignore them, but I'd study them and see the hidden effects. So I remember all the stuff, even though I never took part in it. But the thing is, their images of angels are, you know, things with wings or some glowing thing.
Right.
The images are so stupid compared to what they didn't even know that their television was an angel. See, it's updating your images of the angels which helps you get into power. Because when you say, I want to take my power, what is the context? What's the image of your throne? If you're not including your immediate environment as the images in your throne and the 24 elders, You're silly. You're going to get backwards and have no clue what Ion's doing. So I'm updating your images when we use the word angels. So we use this quote here from McLuhan on Monday. He said the concern, and he said this 40 years ago, the concern of many people for the destruction of the word in our time. So that would be a concern of teachers and writers and Gutenberg people and priests about how people weren't talking right anymore, right? They had no respect for the word. And McLuhan says, this concern for the destruction of the word in our time seems to overlook the fact that the word is neither private nor spoken in its essence. So look at this crazy sentence. He's saying the word is not spoken. The definition of what he means by word is not limited to some private action of the mouth nor anything else. He said the word, as manifestation of all our perceptions and faculties in a single moment, can be managed by non-vocal means. So if we look at the word as an extension of ourselves, our power, and the angels were created, therefore they're part of the word dynamic, they are non-vocal means of expression. So just using this quote to apply it to what we're saying, the word can be managed, used, and you are using the word even if you're not speaking. Now what is the word in that case? What's the image of the word that he's getting at?
It's
an interesting quote. Matter of fact, I was going to ask Ion, what do you make of that? Or did we discuss this with on Mum? Ion, did you tear this quote apart and say this and that? And I can't remember. Well, Sue, you were there. Did Ion address this quote?
Good, so you can redo it again Monday because you've done it this last Monday and you've done it tonight, and I guess you'll do it next Monday. So,
I think it's a great quote because the word is manifestation of all our perceptions of faculties in a single moment.
Oh,
that means the word contains all of your now. Yeah, we'll do it again.
Yeah, he told us, and then he's
it's a creation of all things. It bothers Ion. This is the angelic part of Ion. They say that angels don't like humans having language. So this is partly what's happening here.
Crank the Victrola, Sheila. It's winding down.
Okay.
You know,
so
what I'm interesting thinking too, when we're speaking angelic language, are we just saying these things for the internet to pick up? Or I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, good. Good. That it doesn't make any
if
sense.
I'm out in the
you
woods
can either
and
drop
I'm
it or work on it. So you have your choice now. You're at stage three. Should I try to figure out what Bob meant or just say, never mind, it's not important? Or maybe do
well,
both.
I'm trying to figure out what I mean, but the way that I interpret it right now is that the angelic force is something separate from the internet and the electricity and computers and all that, but it works with them and through that.
Well, why don't you say that they are electricity and you work with them? Rather than making them be something separate from the electricity, you still try to use the rearview mirror, you still want to anthropomorphize them to the old images of Harry Potter land of what angels look like. Why can't you accept the computer as your angel?
Because who am I speaking to when I speak angel to?
Right, and you notice what Ion asked you to mumble. Mumbling to the computer is appropriate because you can't decide any of the emails that you get. you have one response, another response. If you look back and thought of all the thought processes and sub-vocalings you do as you talk back and type your email responses or look at sites and listen to somebody, all the information you gather, if someone looked back, they'd notice your mind is rather blurred. It's this mumbling and reacting and not completing its sentences. That's the way you talk to an angel. So the computer evokes the semanticless, meaningless babble that we hear about in chapter 23. The very thing that it asks you to do when calling the angels is how your mind goes when it's interacting with the data on a computer.
Well, and can you describe the difference between words and angel language and the frequency differences between the two of them?
Language is the outcome of a frequency.
Yeah, that's what McLuhan means. The word is more than what is spoken. What is spoken is an outcome of a larger environment that Ion is calling a frequency. Would you agree with that, Ion?
We darnie did. You just quoted us. And then if we fucking agree with it, it's like, would we? No, we don't agree with that. Bob said it. Because if we agree with Bob, he'll say, well, great, what did I say? What did I agree with that I quoted you on regarding what we were talking about? Wait a minute. What were we talking about? Oh, that's too many words. I don't know what you're talking about. It's ridiculous.
So, yes. Ian, would you agree with Bob's definition of angels, that they're machines?
Bob doesn't even agree with Bob's definition of angels. Why should we?
Okay.
This is just an ephemeral exploration. Is that what it is?
Ephemeral. Well, that's real handy if you're engaging in an angiogram. Yes.
Okay, so Ion, if one.
Okay.
Oh, a couple. The last rewrite, I think I listened to. You said that we should just program the computer ourselves and not have to be limited to Windows or anything. Is that what kind of what you're referring to? That
you already are, darling. Where do you think all this mess comes from? The fruit company is getting rich at this. The fruit company is streamlining it so stupid people can do it. You're paying more, a premium, for a computer that does less. But it does it easily. Because it's already more than you're engaging.
Well, I thought you meant we could just kind of, you know, just think something and it would just happen instead of having to go in and...
Well, apparently when you think...
One time ever said that.
Huh?
Ever.
I says thinking doesn't create...
That.
Thinking doesn't create, Jill. I only spoken
thinking
words
thinking confounds. Thinking confounds.
Okay. Well, I think you said create your own software so that the computer interacts to...
We said there is programs now available where you can speak out loud and your computer, your chip body, will respond. That's
okay.
The way it's always been. And that's the new technology. So there'll be no more tip-tap, tipping, typing, tripping, trilping, whatever it is you do to a keyboard.
Okay.
You'll throw them keyboards.
It's like on Star Trek.
And you'll put, and your mouse will soon be caught in a trap.
That's right. You call that dragonfly.
My mouse will be caught in a trap?
Yeah, I was going to say.
What does that mean?
I was going to say, that's dragonfly. You just talk into your iPhone. And you talk into your iPhone, and you can, as a text, it translates all the words for you.
Search.
It's called Dragonfly,
Google.
Right?
Google. Search. Google. Big naked man.
Yeah.
Bam, there it is.
Okay, well, hold on, Ion. Are you saying that compute?
Sorry. That was funny.
Case you
Chad got smote.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Ion,
yeah,
are you saying that the computers have always done speech recognition, but we didn't notice it?
You had to derive it from Fortran and Cobalt. You confounded it.
If we'd listened to Marie Henrietta, it would have been different, or she led to the confoundment?
No, if you'd have listened to her, you'd have been in voice recognition software long before Seagate.
Right. She was Leopold's wife. Right.
What did she have to do with the computer?
She caused the whole... She's the real Tesla of the 20th century. Leopold, I don't know what number he is, the Congo guy?
Yeah.
You know, 19th century
the
king.
Congo, the Congo guy. God damn.
King Kong. King Kong.
He's the one that wrote the song that an ant can't move a rub or tree plant, but he's got high hopes. Oh, yeah, he wrote that too, didn't he, Bob?
No, he was in the Congo line.
Well, Karen, look up Marie Henriette and read the people bit about her.
Rubber,
pretty,
but it was
under the guise of being a nun.
The caissons on tars.
Under the guise of being separated from her husband, she launched so many technologies. She made Albert. She probably launched. That's where Albert Einstein got his material. He was in the patent office, started to read her patents, and then that forced him to think of E=mc². So she even triggered that.
She learned how to call on the resting soul of Galileo, king of night vision, king of insight.
That's from the song "In" by the Indigo Girls.
She was a parallel traveler.
You keep bringing Galileo. Is there a specific reason?
Yes.
Would you care to describe that specific reason why you keep bringing up Galileo?
Well, we made you ask, but do a little looking. Might you be euphoric? Much of your world that you gauge now that's limiting, if there's a limitation in your world, it came from Galileo.
And LaRouche would agree, the Pope would agree.
All the way down to number one, dabbling in the elliptical fount.
There you go, Jill. See, Jill, why do you forget about muting Jill?
That wasn't me.
Oh, who is that?
I don't know.
All right, who's that's somebody who won't admit it, I guess. Hey, what are you talking about?
Bob, you can't imagine why they'd want to, so that you could chat
smoke them.
Do your own.
Yeah, well, come on.
Thing and worse.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it wasn't
Bob,
Jill.
Occasionally children speak when they're not supposed to.
Oh, it's Sasha. It's Sasha's land.
It wasn't my kids then. Yeah.
Okay, so it was Chad. It was Angela screaming at Chad.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, she's sleeping.
Everybody's got an alibi.
Okay, what were you saying about the Galileo image, Ion?
Galileo's the night.
Every limitation that you have today traces back to Galileo.
So he created the whole visual space synopsis as a result of the telescope.
So he started the whole scientific thinking where you had to prove everything and measure everything?
Well, mucked it up, yeah.
And you said the first man in the fount. What were you referring to? You said that a couple minutes ago, and I don't know who that guy was. A man in the fountain? Ion?
We said no man in the fount. We think we were describing something to be looked for.
Okay.
Hey, Ion, did the 418 group put Galileo under house arrest?
Yes.
There's a historic. That's an incredible statement I just made. Never been heard before.
And it was so important, Bob couldn't even remember what he just said, so it's all there.
I'm too busy reading the reviews of it already.
Yeah,
but no, it's interesting.
Bob's had a little too much Thompson already.
What are you reading?
I said I was reading the reviews, meaning your mind's response to that statement.
Hey,
Bob, your wind is very, very bothersome. It's troublesome, Bob. It's troublesome.
I'm on that.
Ion, can you talk about the spheres at the displayed at the UN and the Vatican? It's a sphere with, it looks kind of like
not
a
sphere. It's not a sphere, it's an orb.
Orb, okay. Can you describe what's going on there or what it
goes? It's a representation of a scepter, A scepter is a chain or holder of power.
I bet you it was Margarita. That was Margarita's kid. That was Margarita's kid that was yelling. I'm nominating Margarita now.
No, I have it on mute. I have it on mute.
That's right.
Because there's a lot of noise here, so I'm muted.
Good.
I don't think we're talking about the same thing. It's like a huge, I guess if you want to call it orb or sphere, you say it's an orb, but it looks like there's a planet. It looks like a planet, and then there's going into it, a small one. And it's like huge. It's like 20 feet high. It's metallic.
Yeah, it's an orb.
It's in the Vatican. It's a new art object or something. It's also, supposedly there's one displayed at the UN as well.
Yeah, for the 11th time, it's an orb.
Okay, it is an orb. And it's just representing power.
No, we're not just representing power. Look up, Sasha.
Yes.
Look up Crown Jewels Orb.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Well, you know, look it up. They're asking. Tell them.
No. I was just going to ask you, when you sent that song about the Palms of Victory, there was something about a scepter in there. That's why I was going off.
Yes, of course.
I wanted to ask you about that.
Yep.
You need to Google the orb and scepter.
Orb, crown jewels, orb. You don't get Albert's
orb
version.
And the Sovereign's orb.
That gets into the Prussian oligarchy that owns the crown jewels. We did that on McClune on Mom many weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he just said, Albert, that's Victoria's husband.
But I'm just wondering. I'm about the scepter in the Palms of Victory song.
Well, you're not going to get that till you look up the crown jewel orb.
Okay. Crown jewel system.
Orb.
Orb.
So did the 418 group possess the crown jewels that we're calling the Prussian oligarchy? Is that overlapping the 418 group, Ion?
You just interrupted Sasha. You wait your turn.
The orbs and scepters are two scepters used and form a part of the regalia. The scepter with a cross and blah, blah, blah. The sovereign type
no,
of...
No. Blah, blah, blah only works in Dobbstown. That's not going to work here.
Okay, sorry.
You can only get away with that shit on Mom. You can't get away with that stuff.
About the orb ion, so I was going blah, blah, blah. So there's the cross, made in 1661, the scepter with the dove, and the sword. Which would you like me to read?
The one that comes up to the Torquia version of 1666 with that led to the nine gates.
Two. Oh. Oh. Yeah, I could just Google that one.
No, complete what you were doing right there.
Was the Ninth Gate author trying to counter the Galileo disservice?
Not trying.
They accomplished it, or?
Do.
Okay, so the scepter with the cross was made in 1661, and it's so called because it's the mountain cross. In 1910, it was redesigned to incorporate the Cullion, also known as the Great Star of Africa, which is over 530 carats, the second largest cut diamond in the world after the Golden Jubilee. In the coronation, the monarch bears the scepter with the cross in the right hand.
Didn't someone in J.W.'s family have that for a while, Ion?
Ask him.
Okay.
An appropriate question to ask, Henry, right?
That was a Hagrid moment there, Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Bob pronounced that as Hagrid.
The scepter with the dove also made in 1661, and atop it is a dove symbolizing the Holy Spirit. While the scepter with the cross is born at the right hand, the scepter with the dove is born at the left. At the same time, the sovereign holds both scepters, he or she is crowned with Saint Crown. And the sovereign's orb, a type of globus cruciger, is a low golden sphere made in 1661. There's a band of jewels running along the center and a half band at the top of the hemisphere, surmounting the orb and cross representing the sovereign's role as defender of the faith. For a part of the coronet, it is born of the sovereign's left hand. Or the smaller globus cruciger made in 1689 for Mary's second due to her joint coronation with William III. Both the small orb and its larger counterpoint is on Queen Victoria's coffin in 1901.
And Sasha, note the date 1689. It's 1688 when William of Orange comes over and sets up the Protestant, locks down the Protestant religion and non-Catholic reality with Amsterdam.
Right.
Yeah, the Jew rule.
The Jew rule. So the Jew was involved in exchange of signing documents, so to speak, to confirm the takeover?
Acknowledging it, yes.
Yeah.
And
all
the
in 1661.
Sorry, Sasha, can you send me the link that you're reading that from, please?
Sure.
Hey, didn't London burn down in 1666?
Yeah.
I bet you that was a battle over the jewel.
Oh, so it's going to Google 61.
Well, get off Echo. Get off Echo.
Beep.
And yeah.
Oh, January 6, 1661, the fifth monarchist successfully attempted to seize control of London. The Shunzi Emperor of the Qing Dynasty Pies.
This must be something good. Y'all got sound effects coming out of every horses. They're dropping off like flies.
We're getting the girls are getting nervous. They're running.
The girls are getting nervous. Is it
Bob.
Time to start? Carolyn, it must be the witching hour. It's time to get now and go to work. Y'all ready?
Yeehaw.
Hey, Bob, you should Wikipedia 1661 was in because it's the fifth monarchist something to take seize control of London.
Right, but you know what? Here's what's interesting to me is that you have the Great Fire in 1666, and you have Samuel Pepys' diary, which is one of the first books, you know, helps popularize the printing press. It's a description of that fire, and it's presented as just some spontaneous fire. Maybe it was part of the power struggle, just like Buckingham Palace caught on fire or was at Balmoral in 1992.
Did you say Buckingham Palace?
Yeah, Buckingham Palace.
And it was also around that time, Bob, when the 61, when the Ed Pasha ends his rule as the Vizier, what did you say, Vizier of the Empire?
Viceroy.
No.
Oh, Vizier. Yeah, Vizier.
Yeah.
Vizier.
He ended his rule in India, or the British were able to consolidate their Indian power?
No, it says he ends his rule as Vizier of the Empire.
So it's a transitional period, and then you get the William of Orange. I guess Ion is highlighting some of the aspects of the battle between the empires.
Mm-hmm.
The secret parts.
So now, since you've gone through all that, look up just orb.
In the wiki of astrology.
Is that the only search engine you have access to?
No. If I look up orb in Google, it's going to get about 10 million results, no?
Yeah, stick with the Wikipedia.
Well, every one of those would be more significant than what the Wikipedia.
I like the band, the orb.
So we'll get back to you soon, Sheldon. Don't worry, we're just showing you the range of encyclopedic access we do here.
That's no problem.
Yeah. We can throw you in the pool.
More about barriering than you know about Lyndon LaRouche, so you're even, Bob.
Who knows more about barium?
Barrowing.
Oh, that's horse talk? Horse sense?
No, that's shoeing, shodding horses.
Oh, okay.
Ion, what's the significance of the pine cone?
The conifer, aspect, that is a latent, protected seed that only sprouts after a fire.
Oh, okay. Like the phoenix rising from the ashes?
Do. Takes a burnt offering to sprout a conifer.
Okay. I think that's at the Catholic Church, or it's at certain religious buildings on the outside. It's also on the Pope's staff, or one of his staffs.
Okay.
So I was just curious what the significance was, but if that's, it seems like it's got a religious connotation. Maybe it's that.
Well, by all means, have Sasha comb the Wikipedia, and much enlightenment may ensue.
Well, I'll let her work with the orc.
Doesn't it have something to do with the pineal gland?
It depends on how far up the rectum you get with them. And go rectum, don't say rectum, we say rectum hell, I'd like to kill everyone that's engaged it so far.
Just curious.
Orb.
Well, they talk about it in the balls of transparent light.
Still on that.
In really haunted places. I have definition. Do you have it, Sasha?
Go for it.
A sphere or a spherical object, a celestial body such as the sun or moon. One of a series of concentric transparent spheres thought by ancient and medieval astronomers to revolve about the earth and carry the celestial bodies. A globe surmounted on a cross as a symbol of monarchical power and justice.
Monarchial power. Whoa. Monarchial power.
And justice. Yes.
And justice. Represents that.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that doesn't sound very wicked.
No, it's not from the wicked.
Oh, how fabulous. Wonderful. Saint be praised.
I didn't want you to break out in a rash, so I went a different route.
Yeah, good. Y'all gonna keep on, and we gonna tear up Wikipedia. Slap up. We may convert the entire Wikipedia to angel. Then, by God, you'll have something to dibble with.
Can I read something from the Wikipedia, please?
Oh, please, we could not wait one second more.
I know, I just thought I'd tempt you, just because I know what you love it. The crown, the throne, the scepter, the name, the stone white were his who found in Jesus the yoke and burden light. From what I know, that's one of the, I don't think scepter is referenced in Revelation at any place. Is it?
That's Brian.
Brian. He's awake. Do you remember when we were having this conversation about the scepter?
Yes.
Is that referenced in Revelations?
Not that I recall. The scepter, but in other places when they speak of a scepter, it's all about, well, in my mind, it's when a human creator imbues power into something outside of themselves, so they give, and the scepter is usually made of a special wood that is conducive to contain the power that is imbued in it.
Uh-huh. But in this verse, it does not. It doesn't seem as if that's right. The crown, the throne, the scepter, the name, the stones, here's who found in Jesus, the yoke and burden light.
Yeah, now, you're reading it, is that supposed to be a definition of something?
No, that's from the song, the palm from the palms of victory.
Oh.
I understand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's in the song, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And many of those things that you just said have to do with power.
Right. But that's why I'm saying, referenced in Revelations, I don't think so. It's the first time, and that's why I said we've never discussed this. Now I'm bringing it up right now. But it seems to me that the scepter that's being referenced different from the scepter that that is being laid out in the sort of the with reference to the monarchy. Would that be correct? Is the scepter mentioned in this line in this song or poem, whatever it is, different from?
Go to Hebrews 1:8.
Sasha, I heard you say stone, and then you said the word white after. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, it's in the song, Bob.
Oh, okay. It says the white stone.
Yeah. Hebrews 1:8.
While she's looking that up for a second, can I read this other sentence I found about? It says, the orb is the energy being transferred from a source, our lines, heat energy, batteries, people, etc., to the spirit so they can manifest. This may not even be a conscious thing the spirit is doing, just a natural way that they get. And then it shows a picture of these transparent orbs. According to laws of physics, energy being transferred like that with natural shape of a sphere. The sphere can also be tied to the EMF we get during spirit activity.
Okay, y'all ready for a little rapid fire?
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you a heads up in advance so you can find it. So when we call it out, somebody holler, I got it. And then you get that one. And then somebody, I'm gonna call it another one, somebody get that. If you can multitask and do 20, then fine.